This is Monday, February 6, 2012, and I'm going to open the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Public Safety, and hopefully, as we proceed, a couple of our members that we will need as we go into work session to vote. But in the meantime, we're going to have our introduction and comments from our most learned and capable legislative fiscal office staff. I'm in good form today.
John, you want to sit?
John, you want to sit down here with us, too?
No. Madam Chair, members of subcommittee, real briefly, just the subcommittee rules. There are no necessarily any subcommittee rules. They're whatever the full Ways and Means Committee adopted, I believe, last Friday. Those would govern you. We'll have just a limited number of meetings this session, so we're going to try to rush things up front so we don't hold anything up, so we can get out of here as soon as possible. For those in the audience, we are now posting things on the internet in terms of committee materials. A few hours before the meeting, so keep checking. You can catch them. They're underneath. If you go to the Ledge web page, there's a little thing up on the top banner that says committees. Click on that, and you can sort of work down through it, and you'll find the Public Safety Subcommittee. So we will not be handing out any paper documents unless it is truly needed, as we strive to save money, as well as trees. On top of that, just one other issue. There was something on the agenda for the, at least on the written agenda that was posted earlier today, a report on the state police's, state medical examiner's office. We did not get that on the official schedule by accident, so that will likely be heard Wednesday instead. And so, Madam Chair, members, the first item is from the Oregon Military Department.
Good afternoon.
I'll say the same kind things that I said about Mr. Wilson, our very intelligent, learned, capable, competent legislative fiscal office staff.
That definitely describes Doug. So, good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Before you is the Oregon Military Department with a request for other funds expenditure limitation for the 2011 fire season.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Brigadier General Mike Caldwell. I'm the Deputy Director of the Military Department and the Interim Head of the Office of Emergency Management. Today, we're requesting an increase in other fund limitation of $118,339 to cover costs incurred during the wildfire suppression and our involvement last summer with our aviation assets. As you may recall, we were called to state active duty last August and September in response to three fires burning in the Cascades. The governor issued two emergency declarations authorizing the use of the National Guard assets. We were asked to provide medevac support to the High Cascades Fire in Warm Springs and the Shadow Lake Fire west of Redmond and the Dollar Fire near Mount Hood. One Black Hawk helicopter and crew were stationed at the Salem Flight Facility and an on-call standby status in case of emergency medical needs. They did respond to two requests during that period. The Dollar Fire was the largest mission for the Guard last summer. 34 soldiers, four Black Hawks were mobilized. The fire concerned authorities because, if you may remember, it was near the BPA high voltage lines, and it was also surrounding the Bull Run Water Reservoir, which is the City of Portland's main water supply. We used the Firehawk helicopter, which is very effective in fire suppression, and we had two other Blackhawks with smaller, what we call Bambi buckets, smaller buckets that we could dispense water on hot spots for the fire. And when we deploy our helicopters, we have to have a support package, which is why the numbers are the 34, and they also deploy in order to take care of the fueling and the maintenance on the helicopters. Each year, we update an interagency agreement with the Oregon Department of Forestry, and this agreement sets the reimbursement rates for the soldiers and the equipment that are placed on state active duty. Federal military equipment fees are billed to the forestry, and the reimbursement is passed directly to the United States Property and Fiscal Officer without any budgetary or limitation impact on our budget. However, the soldiers, they actually become temporary state employees under state active duty, and they're paid through the Oregon state payroll system. So what you're seeing today is payroll costs, which are which are, we incurred, and we've already paid those soldiers. So this concludes my testimony, and be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Questions?
I might add one thing. Last year we had burns flooding that we didn't request reimbursement on. We took it out of our operating budget. And there's also not seen in here as a general fund requirement that hit us on this fire for administration, just roughly $6,000. Neither one of those were forwarded at all. We're asking for its limitation, not general funds.
Yes, Senator Munro.
Overall, wasn't last summer
mild,
a fairly modest fire season?
Madam Co-Chair, Senator Munro, indeed. It was late, as you saw, August and September. Those were the major forest fires that we had in Oregon, the biggest ones. There were a few over on the east side, but they used contract helicopters. As you may also remember, we have to be the last folks in. The contractors, the civilian operators, when they're completely maxed out and they have no other assets in the region, then we come into the game, but not until that's happened.
Has anybody been looking forward to the fire season that's coming? I know there was serious concern when the snowpack was really low, but that's been partially made up, and that has an effect. Anybody doing any forecasting for the fire season for 2012?
Madam Chairman, Senator Munro, indeed, the Department of Forestry has a planned process they go through annually. They look at that because they also need to look at their insurance coverage and what resources they have. So it's an annual process. A lot of it's not really started at this point, waiting until the snowpacks are determined, the water's determined. We'll see. Last year they suspected they'd have more, but we had a wet spring, wet summer. We didn't get summer till July, if you recall. And so I think a lot of that is dependent on the weather, obviously. And I think this dump of snow that we had this last few months is probably going to benefit quite nicely for the next season. But they go through that process annually, and we work with them on that.
Yeah, Madam Chair, some of us, when we're talking to people from California, and we say, last year's summer was on a Wednesday.
Well, I know that some of us can. We also pray that the weather that we do have milder or modest. You know, I can't help but when I go from here over to Central Oregon and see what's left, it makes you cry. When you've grown up here and able to travel and to see the timber standing in. And I also know that there's others across the country who totally do not understand the number of timber that we have in this great state of ours. I can recall a cousin of mine came to visit from Kansas, and if you listen to the East Coast news, they think that we don't have much, that we have destroyed our land. And I took him from here over to Bend. And he said, my God, you guys have trees. So, you know, we're very, those of us who are here, very much love our vegetation and our trees and wish we had a good policy between our U.S. forestry and our state forestry. We kind of like to think that we know how to grow and take care of our timber. So with that, I will... ask for any further questions. You can tell I was no timber girl. Okay, Mr. Borden.
Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval of the department's request and that the Public Safety Subcommittee recommend the department's community support program's other funds expenditure limitation be increased by $118,339 in the 2012 budget reconciliation bill.
Mr. Borden, I'm going to make certain that we're clear on the record, pardon. So I'm going to open the public hearing and work session on the Oregon Military Department's other funds limitation request. It's now, Mr. Borden.
Okay. LFO recommends approval of the department's request, which is an increase to its community support program's other funds expenditure limitation by $118,339, which would be included in the 2012 budget reconciliation bill.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I move that we approve the military department's request and that the Public Safety Subcommittee recommend that the Department of Community Support Programs, support program's other funds expenditure limitation be increased by $118,000. $339 in the 2012 budget reconciliation bill.
Is there objection to the recommendation?
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, while we're changing staff, you probably are aware that members of the Oregon delegation have worked together to form a compromise that would greatly improve, I think, timber management in this state.
I am aware and very thankful that members of our delegation are working together to that end.
In a bipartisan way.
Those of us who are Oregonians, and I could think I could probably say the same for Washingtonians in Northern California, understand the value of our timber and our land and its revenue implications for our counties and our cities. It goes without saying that, it's one of our most valued natural resources, and we hope that if the federal government is listening, that you would consider the proposal that our delegation is putting together. Anyway, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
Department of Justice, authority to apply for a federal grant relating to intellectual property crime enforcement.
Madam Chair, to open real briefly, this is DOJ's request. This continues or is a second year of funding for a grant you heard a few meetings ago. They had come in rather late, so we thought it should be brought forward this time around in a timely manner. It is for a grant from the feds for up to $200,000, and we'll let Mr. Tweet from the supervising or assistant, whatever he is. He'll can't remember what they call you. Division head.
And this is a public hearing and work session.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Darren Tweet. I'm the Chief Counsel of the Criminal Justice Division for the Department of Justice. And I'm happy to be here to request an extension of this program. As you may recall, this program is targeting intellectual property crimes, mainly counterfeiting. It's a task force composed of the Oregon Department of Justice, the Beaverton Police Department, the Washington County Sheriff's Office, and the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office. We're asking for approval to go ahead and apply for an extension of this program in the amount of $200,000, as you've heard. I can report back some stats for you. This has been a successful program, to my mind. We've only been up and running since October. So the stats are from October to December of 2011. We've made 16 arrests. There have been 2 federal cases charged, 14 state cases charged. We seized counterfeit items in the amount of approximately 27,000 counterfeit items in various law enforcement operations. And the total value of those seized, the retail value of those seized items is about $500,000. So we've only been up and running for a short time, but we've definitely made an impact, and we'd request permission to apply and continue the program. Happy to take your questions.
Senator Virgin.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it if you would clarify a couple of things. If you would define what a swap meet is, and also if it's an extension of a program, who are we training for $20,000? In other words, why aren't they already trained?
Madam Chair, Senator Berger, thank you for your questions. A swap meet, I don't know that I have the technical terminology right for it, but it's just a loose organization of people who trade items. You might see those. There used to be one here in Salem on Lancaster Drive. Currently, there is a rather large one that's operating in Gresham. People set up stalls, and they sell merchandise and sometimes swap merchandise. The merchandise can be items that they've gathered in any one of a number of different ways. So that's where we are with that. With regard to the training component of it, we've only been up for about 2 months. We have a training scheduled. I can get you the date for that if you need it. But it's designed to provide training to local law enforcement and local prosecutors for intellectual property crimes. Part of the issue for prosecutors and for law enforcement officers that are out in the field is just recognizing whether or not an item is counterfeit. Sometimes it's really difficult to tell. Some of these counterfeiting operations have spent a lot of money and a lot of time trying to perfectly pass off the items that they're selling. Some of those are really easy to tell. Those are not the ones that we're providing training on. The ones that we're providing training on are the much harder, kind of more organized operations.
Okay, thank you.
My question is, who coined the phrase intellectual property crime?
Chair Winters and members of the committee, I do not know the answer to your question. This is a federal grant. I suppose it might be just a federal terminology. And I'm sure that it relates to the various companies' intellectual property programs in terms of protecting their patents and so on. But we just take the moniker as is given to us.
Maybe the good Representative Barker might know the answer to that question.
Well, it's somebody who owns like a copyright on music and those kind of things that's being stolen. I hate to date myself, but when I was involved in that, we were doing 8-track tapes. Or not 8-tracks, but cassettes, which were coming in from all over the place. And the recording industry was quite adamant. We had a big swap meet up in Portland and made quite a few arrests with that stuff, even though it is old. But there is, I don't know if watches, I see those that being advertised that are probably coming in from China or someplace that shouldn't be.
You and your Doobie Brothers.
I think sometimes we forget that there are others listening and looking at these tapes, and so when we talk about some issue that and not explain what they are, they may not have the full understanding of what we're talking about. So it's
there are patents and those kind of things, copyright. But especially on the music, they had music that, because of the way the law was written, you had to go under something that had to do with the movie industry, the entertainment industry, to come around to pick those up.
So it's not talking about copying this august body.
That's right. There's no, that would require intellect to begin with, so I'm sure we're safe.
Okay. Any questions?
Okay. So, Madam Co-Chair, I would move we approve...
I think we need Mr.
Yeah,
Wilson's recommendation.
Apologize for that.
Madam Chair, we recommend that you acknowledge or approve the submission of the federal grant application at this time. The department feels they probably have enough federal funds limitation, but they need more. When they find out a year from now, they can come back and get it if they need it.
Madam Co-Chair, I was a little rusty. I apologize on that. I would move we approve the submission of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Justice for 1 year. State Department
of Justice.
Department of Justice for a 1 year federal grant to enhance investigations related to intellectual property crime.
Representative Smith recommended that we approve the request as stated. Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Carrier.
Representative Smith.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, the next item is also the Department of Justice. This is a report that that the subcommittee, through a budget note, required the department to come back and report on the development of a key performance measure or measures for the Defense of Criminal Convictions program. This is a rather large program, where it represents roughly a third of the general fund that DOJ Department of Justice has. And at that time, they really didn't have a specific KPM or key performance measure for it. And the subcommittee felt that, given the size, the importance of it, that there should be something developed to measure the performance. And so they are here today for that presentation.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Anna Joyce. I'm the Solicitor General with the Oregon Department of Justice. And as Mr. Wilson just stated, the department was asked to prepare more specific key performance measures for the Defense of Criminal Convictions program, and I'm here today to talk a little bit about those. The Defense of Criminal Convictions program spans both the Appellate Division of the Department of Justice as well as the Trial Division of the Department of Justice, which is why we have separate key performance measures for both the Appellate Division and the Trial Division. For the trial division, we have proposed two key performance measures. One is the percentage of legal cases in which the state's position is upheld, and the second one is the percentage of appropriate litigation that is resolved through settlement. Both of these are really going to focus on the trial division's performance in light of the cost-cutting measures that we're presently taking. The goal will be to appropriately identify those cases that we can settle without litigation, which will clearly save us the cost of litigation. The percentage of legal cases in which the state's position is upheld, we hope to have remain steady or increase. To the extent we start seeing decreases in that number, that will raise concerns about whether the cost-cutting measures that we're taking are beginning to affect the performance and the outcome of our cases. For the appellate division, the key performance measure that we've identified is the number of days to briefing. As we noted, that is a key performance measure that complements what both the Oregon Court of Appeals and Oregon Public Defenders use. To the extent that we're able to reduce the number of days to briefing, we are able to have these cases resolved in a more expeditious manner. It's also a good internal measure for the appellate division in as much as if attorneys are briefing the cases within a particular number of days, that's generally going to be a good sign that they're briefing the cases in an efficient manner as well. So those are the proposed key performance measures. I'm happy to answer any questions at this time.
Questions? Mr. Wilson.
Madam Chair, Legislative Fiscal Office recommends acknowledgement of the receipt of the report on key performance measures for the Defense of Criminal Convictions Programs.
Representative Smith.
Madam Co-Chair, I move we accept a report on the development of key performance measures for the Defense of Criminal Convictions Program.
Reverend Smith, I recommend accepting the report on the development of key performance measures for the Defense of Criminal Conviction Program. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Reverend Smith.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move that we allow Co-Chair Nolan to vote on the work sessions that were undertaken for the Oregon Military Department and the Department of Justice.
Is there any objection? Hearing none. How do you vote on the Oregon Military Department?
I have complete confidence that the committee's work was exceptional, and I do not mind at all associating myself with it. So, Madam Co-Chair, I vote yes on the other funds limitation and yes on the Department of Justice authority for application of a grant.
We're glad that you approve the work that your colleagues have done.
And I must say, Madam Co-Chair, you are styling today.
With that, I believe we are adjourned.
We're out of here.